All right, y'all. Today is going to be one of those shows, and you know I'm talking about by one of those shows. We've got a special treat for you tonight. We've been putting this together for quite a while. I've got an amazing guest, and we're going to get to that in just one quick second. But first, if y'all remember, a couple weeks ago we interviewed the Bottle Kids, an upcoming hip hop group out of Minneapolis. They contacted me today and told me that they have some merchandise ready to go, and they got some awesome shirts. If anybody's interested in those, they come in small through 2X, so even the bigger guys can get them. Get a hold of me on Facebook if you're interested, and I'll get you in touch with the guys, and we'll make sure we get those out to you as quickly as possible. So Bottle Kids, again, they've got their album and stuff getting ready to drop, and now they've got merchandise. So y'all hit me up, and we'll get that taken care of for you. But now we got to get to tonight. This has been building since, I don't know, 2002, when the Funky Baldheads released their first album. Before that, we had Rave Under the Joy Fantastic. We had a bunch of MPG Music Club singles and records come out. We had some live albums come out. So I know you've heard my guest on everything. One of my favorites that I know you've heard him on is the Motherless Child from the Septimo recordings, which is one of my favorite live Prince recordings. You've heard him on so many tracks that we can't even name them all right now, or I wouldn't have time to talk to him. So without further ado, we're going to welcome Kip Blackshire to the show. Thanks, Kip, for coming on, man.
Hey, good to be here. Thanks for having me.
Now, guys, again, we've been putting this together for a minute, but Kip is one of the busiest men in show business right now. I mean, if you blink, he's done played with everybody. He's done set up shows all over the world. So when we're catching sleep, this guy's catching work. I mean, he is truly so busy. So for him to take time out to come on the show tonight, we can't tell you how much we appreciate it.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
And so I know, because I'm real familiar with your background and whatnot. I know you got started singing with your brothers back in Arkansas. How did that all kind of get started? And then how did that get you on your journey to Minneapolis?
Well, I was born, fortunately, into four generations of gospel singers. And, you know, out of that group, my mom, I say the generation that second generation before my brothers and myself and my cousin Shay, was my mom and my aunts. So, I mean, singing has been in my family for generations. So, and mama just happened to have three boys that all had the same passion to sing. So we've been singing together since, oh my God, since before I started kindergarten. So we were together, and I just kind of, you know, we all had the same passion, you know, to try to feel the same shoes that my parents, who in the tri-state area of, say, Arkansas, Texas, Mississippi, they, you know, carried a lot of weight. They, you know, inspired a lot of people and, you know, won some awards in gospel music. And so we were trying to follow in their footsteps and do something great. And ultimately, you know, we ended up leaving. We had a sort of a record-ish situation, village situation down in Houston, Texas, that took us down to Houston, Texas. Tour down in Houston from, say, 97, right up until I actually came to Minneapolis. And the way that I came to Minneapolis is a mutual friend of ours knew Morris and had contact with Morris. So Morris and I started talking. I feel like maybe 2-3 times a week when I'm at work, I would be on break driving a forklift, and I would call Morris in Minneapolis, and he would tell me, hey, man, I got to get you up here to work in my B studio. You know, I've been hearing some of the stuff that you've been doing, and I like the production and stuff, you know, but we need to get you working with some real gear. And so ultimately, you know, I ended up taking a trip, 26-hour Greyhound ride bus from Houston, Texas, to Minneapolis. And I get there, and Carlos Santana had a concert in town off of his Supernatural album at the time, and Prince was going down to Target Center as a guest to get on stage, you know, sit in with Santana. And they had a private gathering at Paisley Park afterwards. It was a private jam session with Prince and Santana on the stage, and Morris invited me. I went. I started shooting a little basketball, watching those guys, and Prince wanted to play me in basketball, but that's a different story. And so that's kind of how my journey went from Arkansas singing gospel up into Paisley Park.
Very nice. And when you think of, like, the upbringing, in gospel. You know, Prince definitely loves his gospel music and whatnot, and you can hear that, and especially when you guys got up there singing with him, it just
right.
molded so well, like your harmonies, because when you sing with Johnny and Dewan, like it's like you don't even have to practice, like you open your mouth and you're in the right key and they're in the right key, and it's amazing. And so that brought a lot into, I feel like, Prince's sound in that era, because, you know, before it was, you know, him mainly maintaining most of the background vocals and whatnot. Then you guys came in and you can hear the change. And it's so refreshing to hear you guys, because, again, he didn't share the mic with too many people. But then here, you know, you definitely had that leadership. So you come through and, you know, especially if y'all haven't seen the Motherless Child recording, it's on YouTube. And if you haven't heard it, you need to get on that, because, man, the way you guys go back and forth on that is ridiculous. And then on top of the rest of the performance, but it's so cool that, you know, he's doing this masterful setup and you're a part of that.
Well, you want to know something. It's like this. It's like, I was always the shy one of the bunch of the three of us. And I just kind of wanted to play the background. I knew what I could do singing, but, I was at a stage where I needed someone to, my parents had done what they needed to do, and thank God for my Aunt Judy, because she put in countless hours upon hours, like just really just putting us through the ringer to make us pay attention to how we were singing and our delivery. But once I got to Prince, I was still just kind of shy, you know, to kind of unleash all of that. And that was Prince's whole way of, you know, training me, saying, hey, you know what? I want you to back me up when we do these things. I need you to back me up. Can you do that? And I'm like, yeah, I got you. So ultimately that led from doing that, to, you know, till, you know, me becoming like the lead vocals for like the Bald Heads, because he was like, I think you need more lead vocal experience. And I don't think you should be in the background. You should be in the front. You're a front man. I'm like, wow, okay. So I'll try it. If you say I can do it, then I can do it. And that's how I learned to gain some confidence, because I allowed myself to be put into a place that wasn't necessarily comfortable for me, and it was very unfamiliar territory, but, you know, I had a strong heart and a chip on my shoulder to say, hey, well, you know what? Yeah, of course I can do this. I can be bigger. I can be better. I can be stronger. I can be more efficient. And, you know, so I thank Prince for that.
Right. And if you're going to have somebody in the background propping you up and telling you that you can do this, I mean, who better? Who better to
Absolutely.
Have your back?
Absolutely, man.
And so I got the pleasure of seeing you in 2001. I think it was in December. You guys did the hit and run tour, and he came through. It was one of the last times he came through St. Louis, and I got to see you guys. And so that was cool for me. And we'll talk about the Bald Heads in a minute. But I was really stoked when y'all were coming, because I was hoping, like, man, are they gonna have the Bald Heads open up? Because we had heard a buzz about you guys, but we hadn't really heard anything. But I think the single Sex in My Bones had just kind of started getting play on the MPG Music Club. And so I was hoping you guys were going to open. And then when you didn't, but then you were still prominent with the vocals with them that night, it was still really cool. Cause I'm like, all right, so I know who that guy is, and he's going to be bad. And you guys definitely, like, it was like the Prince and Kip show for a while. It was like, you knew where to come in and you knew where to accentuate all the spots on all the songs, and it was just amazing. It was amazing. So
thank you, man. I appreciate that.
So when it got time for that part of the MPG to kind of move and go their own way, how did the Bald Heads concept, where did it start and how did it come to fruition?
Well, ultimately the Bald Head concept was Kirk Johnson's idea. It was his whole brainchild, and it's something that he actually had. The band was already, he already had a band, you know, I mean, in terms of a lead vocal, another rapper. I don't necessarily remember who everybody was per se, but there was already a band before, you know, playing locally in Minneapolis. They would play shows here and there. So, and one night, I think the club at the time was still called The Quest. It used to be the old Glam. And so we went down there and we saw the band, and, you know, he asked me what I thought about the band, and I was like, it's nice. You know, I mean, it was Kirk Johnson on drums. I don't know who was on bass. I don't remember who was on bass exactly, but I know Mike Scott was on guitar. So, of course, you know, anything Mike is going to be a part of is going to burn.
Right.
So, you know, we went and saw the band a little bit, and he asked me what I thought about it, and I was like, yeah, it's just cool, you know? It's like, okay, you know? And then he didn't say anything else about it for a little while, and then finally, you know, when it was, you know, we were actually in rehearsals, and we kind of got the show down a little bit, he asked me, what did I think about, you know, how did I feel about being, you know, a part of, you know, the Funky Baldhead situation, and, you know, doing lead vocals. He was like, yeah, you can write, produce, you know, Kirk's band, he wants to take it on the road, but, you know, we need, you know, a stronger vocal on it and, you know, more energy on the stage. And he was like, you know, I nominated you. So I'm like, okay, well, if you think I can do it, then let's do it. You know, and that was actually my first interaction with Kirk on the stage. And I, again, like I say, I have, you know, two mentors, the way I like to look at it. Of course, you know Morris Hayes, and the other one would be Kirk Johnson, because Kirk, you know, I attribute a lot of what I know on the stage as well, you know, to Prince was like, you know, the director in the sense of like, hey, I need you to do this. But Kirk was like the general in the sense of like, hey, you know, this is what it takes to be able to pull that off. You have to find out what that is for you in this department, work it out and have it ready. Because again, you know, working at that level, you don't have the luxury of taking your time. You are on a time crunch, and when you're on that level, like a Prince, where you're used to perfection happening at a certain rate, then, you know, the pressure's on. So again, like I say, I was just thankful that I had somebody, you know, around me in that time, you know, to help me develop, you know, as a lead vocalist.
And definitely shout out to Kirk. I know, like, he started out dancing with Prince in the you know, he was in an extra in Purple Rain, and then they came up and they were the Game Boys before they got into the actual MPG as a band. And you got to know, dancing with Prince has got to be like a competition, and like all the time, like got to be rigorous, and your cardio's got to be sick. And that's probably why Kurt is swole and huge like he is now. But man, I mean,
swole for life, right?
Yeah, to try to be able to keep up with Prince on the stage dancing. I mean, playing and singing would definitely be a chore too, but I could not imagine trying to match that man move for move. But those guys did it. It was amazing. So shout out to Kurt, Tony, and Damon for that.
Absolutely love those dudes.
And so when you guys went in to record the Baldhead album, and for those of you who don't get that we're talking about, the band is the Funky Baldheads. They came out in 2001, 2002. The record is ridiculous. Like there are some songs. If y'all have a trouble with the name of the group, you'll get it when you listen to the music, because it's funky and everybody was clean shaven, so it was tight. But the songs, two most notable songs. I mean, you get to the intro, you have Sound the Same, which they're going after the boy bands who were prominent at that time, and then you have Passing Your Name and Under the Same Cloud, which are classics. Like they stand up today with anybody, and I can tell you that because I'm listening to it almost 20 years later. It's in my phone right now, and I've been playing it since we got a date for this interview, and I play it at least once a week. I get those two songs on repeat in my car, because they're still today, they're classics for any genre and any era, not just the Minneapolis sound, but just in any music staple that you would want to put them in. Those two songs, if not any others on the album, and there are others on the album that are great, those two songs will hold up with anybody in hip hop right now, anybody in R&B right now, and anybody in rock funk. I mean, those two songs have definitely stood the test of time, at least in my opinion.
Man, we appreciate that, man. We really appreciate the support.
And I can even go back and tell y'all, like, the first time, like, I got brave enough to message Kip after we friended each other on Facebook. I'm like, hey man, I'm a big fan, been listening to the record for a long time, and I'm really struggling with a couple of these lyrics. Can you help me decipher? And I can only imagine on the other end, like, really? Come on, man. But he was gracious, and he sent me the right words, so then I wasn't singing the wrong words when I was singing along with the song. So that's where that friendship kind of started, and we've kept in touch. So definitely a true fan here of not only the Blackshire brand and the Baldhead brand, but with Kip as well, which is why we get to do these things. And it's awesome because he knows that I know the history. So we get to bring him on the show, and hopefully y'all will be fans when this is all said and done too, because he is amazing and he's got some great stuff on tap for you. But so right now the Baldheads are done and you guys were quiet for a minute. And for me, I was kind of selfishly hoping really hard that there would be a Blackshire record, because I think that the three of you guys in a collection of songs would have just been amazing, especially then. Even now, it would be awesome to hear the record, and I think it would hold up with what's going on, especially as an alternative to what's on the radio. Were there any plans at that moment to do a Blackshire record, or were you guys still kind of going in your own separate directions?
Well, you know, I put it like this. It's like we talk all the time about it. You know, it's just, everybody's, in different stages of life. And on top of it, we all live in different states. I'm in California, Johnny is in Georgia, and Juan is in Minnesota now. So, everybody's a little bit spread out, but, we talk about it. We talked about it over the holiday at home in Arkansas. I talked about doing something and, again, like we'll see what's happening. But in the end, I have faith that I think we're going to do something before it's all said and done. But it's just got to happen in the right time,
Right, right. And then in 2005, you dropped a couple of records on us. And then my opinion, one should have been called Damn, and the other one should have been called Damn Part 2, because they were amazing. and I got to say, the 11th Hour, man, just every song on it from front to back, it's another record that holds up today. You can put it next to any great album that's out right now, and you can be like, all right, this is right there with it. When those came out, like they weren't like really on the radar as far as like, of course, like pop radio, because if you played with Prince and you didn't put out a Prince written record, it seemed like radio wasn't trying to hear it, and they weren't trying to give you a lot of exposure. Was there any frustration with that? Because I mean, again, these albums are ridiculous, and they still hold up now, but then it didn't really...
Prince and I, we actually had a conversation about, things of that nature. And, I put it like this. It's like when the changeover happened, from, when I left, I was supposed to come back for musicology, but I declined because I had already, started booking my own dates and stuff on tour. And, but what it really was, it wasn't a thing of like, of frustration per se, because it was exactly the way that I wanted it to be. I mean, I was not looking to use his name to, knock doors down for me, because if he could believe in me and he could see, the value in me, then so could the rest of the world.
Right.
And it wasn't a thing of, if you want to look at validation, you would always say to me, "Kip, well, you're already here." And for me, it was like, that was enough for me to say, okay, well, don't give me the fish, teach me how to fish for myself. And I think that was, a really, solid, piece of the foundation for our relationship at the time, is because he respected the fact that I wanted to take, what I had been learning from him and, go express it on my own without, hey, having my hand out for money or resources or any kind of a hookup or anything like that. I'm just like, well, man, I'm just happy that I could come here and do something like this, that you would even allow me to be here like this.
Right.
He was like, well, if this is something that was ordained by God, not me, this is bigger than the both of us. So then, when you think in that mindset, then you don't think, okay, well, you're not necessarily frustrated. You don't even look at it like that, because it's like you're just on your journey.
Right. And then you also got to produce one of my favorites in hip hop, Rascass, out of California. And if y'all don't know who he is, he's a hip hop legend. Go do your research now. I was a fan of Rascass when he dropped his first single, Won't Catch Me Running, all the way up through the stuff that he puts out today. And then when I found out on Twitter, like, Kip Blackshire's working with Rascass, I'm like, what? Like, this is one of my favorite vocalists who I haven't heard from in a minute, and then one of my favorite rappers that I haven't really heard from in a minute, and I'm like, they're going to be doing something together. So then I'm salivating for the Rascass Kip Blackshire track too. And then I know that you also did some stuff with Dress from Black Sheep. Who else were you working with that we might not have heard about?
Oh man, I mean, wow. I mean, there's Michael Bolton, there's Eric Benet. Oh man, there's it's a quite a few of them on a list. I would actually have to sit down and write a list of them. Now that I think about it, I mean, but yeah, I mean, that was just kind of the thing, you know. That was, again, was another product of, you know, Prince saying, hey, you know, you can do much more if you move to a place like LA, because, you know, you can play both live. He was like, but you're only going to do so much here, you know. Right. I mean, now that you've played with me, then, you know, where else do you go from here? What else do you do? He was like, so you kind of got to go out and spread your wings. And so that was the idea. He was like, yeah, don't stay here and, you know, just do the local thing and be a local hero. He was like, because you have so much more to give. He's like, otherwise, I think, you know, that thing of comfortability, you know, where you have a nice little residency at some, you know, bar or something, you know, and you get comfortable doing that, then, you know, the thing about life taking over and other things happening centering around that, it was like, I don't think you want to give yourself a chance to get that level of comfort. So I think that you need to go out and explore your other talents in production. You know, we spoke about, you know, like film scoring, and that's, you know, I worked on the latest Jason Bourne. I get to work on, you know, things, TV shows like Blackish. But that, again, was, you know, we talked about his Batman project and him scoring that whole thing, and he was like, it's a lot of work, but, you know, you have to have the right mindset for it. You got to be very meticulous. He was like, but I think that's who you are. So, you know, having those tools along with the talent and the strength and orchestration that you have, I think that you can go and you can do this. I'm like, huh. And so that was around 2004, and around 2007, I ended up making the move. And I've been here for about 11 years now. So, yeah, the Razzcazes, Dr. Dre's, the Eminems. It's like, man, it's been a wonderful journey in production as well.
And then something that I'm super excited about is there's been talk for a while about a new Baldhead record. And I know it's kind of been on the burner for a minute. How close are we to getting that record, and are we still possibly getting that record?
Well, how about I tell you this? I'll tell you that we're in the beginning stages of it. We are recording. There are going to be some changes, of course. I think, you know, one of the things that we've been, you know, tossing around is, I don't know, maybe I won't even give that away, you know, but it's something really fun. But, you know, we actually have a message now. We have a really strong message. You know, we're the more grown heads now. And, you know, a lot of our views have evolved. And I think with, you know, the pulse of what's going on in society right now, I think, you know, those of us that have a voice and have a platform, I think it's time that we, you know, use our platforms, you know, to stand up for our communities, to, you know, be a force for change, positive change, love. And again, like I say, it's something I feel like that's going to be bigger than us, you know, bigger than just the music itself, I think, you know, so I'm really excited about that.
Awesome. Well, I definitely can't wait. It's been a long time since the first record, so I'm on tap and ready as soon as y'all have it.
Oh, we got some heat though. We got some heat coming, so I'm really excited about that.
I'm ready to take the challenge, man. We will prop it up. We will advertise it. We will blast it on my show, and people will hear it whether they want to or not, and it'll be in my car, blowing up my subs and everything. So as soon as it's ready, I gotta raise my hand first and get a copy of that.
Yes, sir. And Kirk and Devious wanted me to send you thanks and love as well.
I definitely appreciate it. And anytime that they've got a minute, I kind of talk to David a little bit online. I know Kirk kind of stays away from it because there's a lot of BS in the background and whatnot, but any time that right. The two of them would feel comfortable with coming on the show, I would be more than happy and honored to have either one of them or both of them on. So definitely
absolutely
send my love back to them too.
We'll do.
So you're probably, maybe you're not tired of answering it. I kind of feel like when I get to this point in an interview with somebody who's worked with Prince, that they're probably kind of tired of being asked the question. So hopefully not, because I know you could probably get asked it all the time, but where were you when you heard that Prince had passed, and how did that affect you on a personal level, if you're comfortable speaking about it, and like what he meant to you as a person and as a mentor and as a friend?
Well, you know, it's, I put it like this. I was here in LA, you know, I was waking up in the morning and my phone was you know, on Eternal Vibrate. And so when I actually picked up my phone, I saw all of these, my condolences, I'm so sorry, I can't believe it. I'm just like, huh? And at first it was just like it was a dream. So I had to kind of figure out, like, wait a minute, none of these people know each other. So how do we all know the same person? Like, what's going on? And so, of course, you know, when I turned on the TV, it was everywhere. I was just kind of shook, of course. I was in disbelief. Hurt, you know, all of the normal emotions that come along with grief. It was definitely a dark moment, but at the same time, it was, in a sense for me, you know, a call to arms. It's like I've been doing more production over live, you know, for the past few years. And the last time I was there working with him on the Judith Hill project, he asked me, you know, hey, you know, when we're going to see you come back out live, you know, and we were jamming and he had me sing Superstition and he and I, you know, went back and forth with the, you know, vocals and guitar and stuff. And he was like, oh, man, it's like I'm so reminded. He was like, man, I love playing, you know, with you and that voice. Like, man, you know, this is amazing. He was like, I'm going to need you to come back on this side of things. And so for me, it was like, you know, I heard his voice a little clearer that day, you know, after having that last conversation with him. So, and it's been, like I say, you know, these tours have been fun, but they've been mostly bittersweet for me because, again, it's very interesting, you know, singing these songs when, you know, I'm so used to playing behind him while he does. I mean, we do them together, you know, so it's a very, very different energy. So my thing is I try to, you know, take it one day at a time. And, you know, I think I've had a lot of healing and I think it's been great to do these tours with the NPG as a service to the fans as well as keeping a legacy alive, you know, but I think at this juncture, it was just time for me to do something different. Again, the whole reasoning, you know, him telling me like, hey, you know what, I'm the springboard for you. So you should do great things, you know, don't just be comfortable with this sense of status because a lot of musicians will work their whole lives just to get to this arena so they can play on this level with someone like me. But he was like, you can be your own you. And I'm like, okay. And so I think at the end of the day for me, it's like, I remembered, you know, I heard echoes of that message again to say, well, you know what? This is what he meant. You know, the last time I talked to him is for me to come back out and, you know, to use my expression again, you know? And so that's why, you know, I've been so inspired and, you know, ready to do this again.
Well, I know, like, having not seen you live since that Hit and Run show, and then we actually came to Minneapolis so we could see Prince on the big screen, and it was, mm-hmm. and it was cool seeing all the people that were in the audience, but it was also helpful and kind of therapeutic for me to see the show, but also to see you on stage and reprising your role in the band. And it, and so while kind of having my eyes closed while this, most of the performances were going on, it just felt like he was there, felt his energy, and it felt familiar and it felt good because you and Shelby were killing it in the stage. And it just felt like, okay, cool. The closure that I needed from being like a 35 year fan and growing up with his music, I needed that. And then to have like the familiarity of your voice on stage as something that I've been able to equate with his music and whatnot, it helped knowing, having you on that stage too, playing, singing those songs. So, for the fans that were there and that were loving it, man, I have to speak for them and say thank you for being a part of those as well.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. And I have to say for me too, it's like that for me was one of the best moments that I've had, you know, since he passed, was, you know, the live on the big screen. Because again, like you, I mean, the energy was undeniable. I mean, it was so thick. You could just feel his energy in the room, you know, the whole time. So it was just, you know, you felt, again, you felt like, you know, you were close to him just one more time, you know? So I'm really thankful to, you know, the estate, you know, Kirk Johnson, all his hard work that he put in to make that go, like, wow. You know, I love Kirk Johnson and his work ethic and, you know, just his vision. Like, again, man, it's like I've been really fortunate, you know, to be, you know, amongst, you know, people that are so great at what they do.
Yeah, I interviewed Tracy Blake a while back as actually one of my first interviews when I started Masterclass. And one of the stories that he told me actually mentioned you. I asked him if he had ever met Prince or had ever got to play for him. And he said, man, I'll tell you a funny story. He's like, I was at Kit Blackshire's CD release party at Bunkers. And I was sitting down at the table and Prince came down and sat next to me. And I didn't say anything to him. And he didn't say anything to me. And then I got the nerve finally to get to say something to him. And I turned my head and he was gone. And he's like, I didn't even hear him leave. And I thought that was incredible because everybody kind of said he just kind of appeared and then he kind of disappeared at will. So I thought I would share that with you tonight because, again, Tracy is a big fan. He acknowledged you as a friend of his as well. And he's a huge friend of mine. And I love the guy to death. And I will always remember that story because I can imagine like sitting that close and like, what do you say? So you don't say anything. And then he's gone.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Absolutely. That's actually the day that I got to actually, you know, kind of do my little audition on stage with him. Was it happened the same way. It was the same day we were playing basketball. It was Prince and me teamed up against Morris and Kirk playing 2-on-2. And so we got finished playing a few games and, you know, he was like, all right, I'm going to go make some phone calls and then we're going to rehearse. I took that as my cue. Okay, I've heard rumors, but I just want to get out of the way because, you know, I don't want to overstay my welcome. I don't want to get kicked out by the dude too.
Right.
So, well, let me just go ahead and take my leave now. So I went to Morris. I'm like, hey, yo, can I get the keys, you know, so I can drive back to the studio? He was like, oh, no, hang out. It's cool. I was like, dude, are you sure? And he was like, he started laughing. He was like, yeah, man, it's cool. Just hang out. I was like, all right, I'm going to go sit way over here, all the way out of the way.
Right.
You know, and so before I'm like, let me go to the restroom, and this is where the love for one another room, and you know, the stage was where the restrooms are now. The stage, the back of the stage was right there facing the other wall where the stage is now. And so we were rehearsing, and at the time, well, those guys are rehearsing, and so I go to the restroom, and I'm singing some Casey and JoJo just under my breath, and I come out of the restroom and I pull my seat way back to where the door is, the side door is, by the big draped curtains. And so I'm thinking like, okay, well, cool. I'm way out of the way. Out of nowhere, you know, he's standing on my right side and I just, you know, almost jumped out of my seat like a cat, you know. Like, oh, God, like, you know, how'd you get right there, you know? And he's like, overheard you singing in the restroom. Why don't you come on the stage and let's see if you can sing for real? I'm like, huh? I'm like, sing for real? I'm like, oh. Let's go get it. I'm like, all right, you know. So he opened up his lyric book to Little Red Corvette and asked me, do you know this song? I was like, man, I'm sorry, you know. Mom and I didn't allow us to listen to you growing up, so I don't know any of your music. He was like, ha-ha. He was like, this should be fun, Dan. I'm like, okay. And so it was Prince, Larry Graham on bass, Morris on organ, and Kirk on drums, you know. So, and they started playing the music to Larry Graham's song Free, and so he was like, yeah, sing those lyrics over the top of this music. I'm like, all right, cool, I'll tell you where to come in. All right. And so I came in, I sang the first line, and he says, on the one, boom, everybody stops, and he says, I bet you can't do that again. I was like, I bet you I can. It's like, all right, two, three, and I came in again. And so he's like, all right, you know. So he's playing a guitar solo, and then he looked at me and said, you want some? I'm like, yeah, yeah. So, and that's where he started kind of seeing what I could actually do as a vocalist, because I kind of just went up and to his range where he was in the guitar, and we just played off of each other for a little bit. And he ended rehearsal and said, you come with me to the studio. I got something I think you'd sound great on. And it was Undisputed with him and Chuck D from The Rave.
Yeah.
And that was that day I sang was also the first day I recorded with him. So kind of happened pretty quickly.
That is amazing. And then you guys also got to sing on the Rave Into the Year 2000 show. And for those of you that saw the pay-per-view or bought the DVD and it's only a couple of hours, can you add any truth to the fact that that show actually went like 8 or 9 hours, like all night long?
Yes, I can. It's like, you know, certain things I won't divulge on here as to why. But yeah, it's like, you know, certain behind the scenes thing, I'll just put it like that. But yeah, it was a long one. It was a long one. But it was a lot of fun for me because it was my first big show of any kind like that with him. So it was beautiful just to see how things like that were done. And just to see him, you know, from the rehearsal stage to the big show stage and all of the layers of rehearsal, all of the hard work that goes on in many different pieces and different aspects and how you put that together and you present this to your audience and you are able to successfully do that for generations. I'm like, wow, man, like he's definitely one of a kind.
And then, so we've got the tribute shows are kind of done. I know MPG's doing some touring and they've got McKenzie on lead vocals right now. And that guy is ridiculous. Mm-hmm. And yeah. I know you've got, everybody else has got some things going on. What else can fans of Kit Blackshire, what can we expect from you that you're able to speak on?
Well, I'm working on a new solo project. It'll be my first since 2006. So I'm really excited about that. It's been a long time coming. So I'm working on that. And also, like I say, the whole bald head situation, you know, we're working on that whole thing. And I so wish that I could tell you, you know, the biggest bombshell that I have right now. But I'm afraid that I just need to keep that under my hat just a little bit longer and allow this thing to just keep nurturing and developing right now. But maybe in a future show, you know, I can kind of give you some updates on that and we can talk about that then.
Absolutely. And since I kind of know what we're talking about and I love knowing it and people are going to be messaging me, what's he talking about? I can't tell y'all, but I can tell you this, when he drops it, it's going to change the game. And so just hold on tight for that. Cause we will bring Kip on in the future and we will let him drop that. So you hear it from him and not as a rumor from somebody else. So.
Right. Yeah, so, you know, look for the new Kit Blackshire soon. And I'm so super excited about it. It's like, you know, I tend to love to play the background and just do the work. And when it's time to release it, you know, run a full-on campaign and then we announce it, we promote it, we do everything. But right now, it's like it's all about, you know, the energy and the project and making sure that we just focus on that. It's like, I probably have about 4 projects right now that I'm working on. Another one that I'm super excited about is a new young artist that I'm working with. Her name is Molly Cottrell, and it's very interesting sound. So I've been working on it now for the past couple of years or so, developing it, and because I want to really do something special. So I'm really excited about that. I just wanted to kind of put that out there as well, so you guys can kind of look out for, you know, something else that I'm working on. You know, so it'll be an extension of what I'm doing with myself. So.
So basically what you're letting us know is there's at least 4 other occasions when we got to have you on the show, which is amazing for me because I will open up any time to get you on to talk about anything. So
Absolutely. We
at least got 4 more, y'all, so stay tuned.
Well, you know, I got another show actually coming up and it'll actually be here in the States, but it'll be with The Revolution.
Oh.
I'll be playing with The Revolution. Stay tuned for the actual venue and show date and that whole bit, but we're just working out the details. But I will be doing a show with The Revolution, and this will be really, really fun. Like, I'm so excited to play with these guys.
Heck yeah, maybe they could jump on. I know the MPG just did their show last week, and they did it on pay-per-view and had a lot of success with that. Maybe they could do something like that, so those of us who are salivating here in St. Louis for somebody to come here so we can see these guys, maybe they could do it on pay-per-view and we could watch it from home.
Hey, you know, I tell you what, you know, check out Mark Brown, you know, Brown Mark, check him out, you know, send him your thoughts, let him know what you think, and those guys, I'm sure they'll accommodate what you guys are looking for.
And And I also have to say, while you're working on 17,000 projects at one time, you're also you're also really active on social media. Like you're on Instagram, you're on Twitter, you're on Facebook. You're accessible. Some people, you send them a message and then you can see where their little icon came up, where they at least saw it. Maybe they didn't read it because everybody's busy, but you see the icon come up where they at least saw it. And then like a year will go by and you still might not hear anything, but you respond relatively quickly to the messages. You have no problem friending folks as long as they stay in their lane and don't try to get crazy. And how can everybody keep up with you on social media, on your Twitter handle, your Instagram handle, and your Facebook?
Well, I mean, I don't really do too much on Facebook anymore. Most of what I use is Instagram, so you can follow me at Kip_Blackshire on Instagram, and at Twitter, at KBlackVoice. That's at KBlack, B-L-A-C-K, Voice, V-O-I-C-E.
Okay, and then where can fans get those first records that we talked about?
You can go to iTunes. You should be able to go to iTunes, Spotify, you know, all of your media outlets should be everywhere.
Okay, and guys, again, if you want to hear real music by real musicians, which is what we pride ourselves on our show, Go back in and check out, search Kip Blackshire on iTunes. Get his two records there. Go back a little further and get the Funky Bald Heads record. And then if you want to go back even further, go search Prince up on Tidal and get some of the NPG Music Club stuff. You can hear Kip all over those tracks. And check out Rave Unto and Into the Joy Fantastic. Get the DVD Rave Unto the Year 2000 if you don't have it. If you do have it, pull it back out and watch it again. Kip is really special. Prince doesn't never shared the stage with very many vocalists. You know, he would bring on people who were his idols and legends when he would have them when he would be in their town or whatever. But he didn't really bring other people up to sing with him and really share the stage on a full fledged tour or for a whole show. But yet, if you listen to him between like 99 and like 2002, if you heard another voice on stage, it was probably Kip banging in the backgrounds. And it's pretty tough when you're a lead vocalist and you've got the guy in the background singing just as good as you can sing, and he's popping off to not be overshadowed. But Prince wasn't worried about that. He wanted Kip to shine and to get his piece in. And so go check that stuff out and get those records and listen to them. And then you'll hear what I heard in the beginning and why I've been a fan for as long as I have. And while we will continue to follow Kip and bring him on our show and support everything, because he doesn't use any machines to make his voice sound good. He uses all the years he got growing up in the gospel community and learning how to really sing and how his voice is his instrument. And we respect that. We don't like anything that has to be manufactured. And so, right. You know, we want to definitely continue to show love. And again, man, if you have anything at all that you want to share, you know how to get in touch with me, and I'm 24/7, 365. I don't care if it comes out at 3 o'clock in the morning and you got an idea and my phone vibrates, I'm going to pick it up and we're going to make it happen. So,
absolutely. I tell you what, as soon as I can talk about it, you'll be amongst the first
and
be amongst the first to know.
And there you have it, guys. I mean, it doesn't get any more real or better than this guy right here. Kip, as Jellybean Johnson would say, Kip is the truth. And you'll hear it if you go back and listen to those other projects. If you forget how to get a hold of them, you can go to my Mixcloud after our show airs on Tuesday. And you can replay the show. You can message me. You can message Kip on Instagram or on Twitter, and he'll let you know. But we got you. If you need to get the old stuff, we can definitely get that in your direction. We're playing some of the music tonight on the show, so you definitely get to hear some as well. And we play some from Rave, some from the Bald Heads, and some from Kip's album. So you're gonna get a little taste tonight because we're not playing anybody else tonight. It's all Kip. And man, again, thank you for taking the time out of all those things that you're doing right now to come on to my show. And I really appreciate the love and the respect. And I give it back to you tenfold. And We will have you on, and we will support anything that you've got any time that you want to be here.
Well, man, I'm grateful to you. I'm grateful for all the Purple Love, man. I mean, you guys are unrivaled, I tell you, and I'm grateful just to be a part of the family, man. And I thank you for having me on your show. And again, you know, please feel free, you know, to have me back. I'll come back. We'll talk some more.
I'll bring you back. When you guys get that Ballhead record ready to go, you can bring Kirk and Devious with you, and we'll get everybody on. Maybe debut a new single or something. Hint, hint. Wink, wink.
And yeah, you know, I guess I should say one more thing. I mean, you know, you guys definitely keep an eye out next year for the Live on the Big Screen.
Oh,
you know, look out for that. I mean, there's some big plans, you know, that are happening with that. I can't say too much right now, but definitely look out for that. You know, hopefully in a city, country near you. Just wanted to kind of, you know, leave that one in closing.
Yeah, definitely. Y'all heard it here first, so be on the lookout for that. And Kip, man, again, have a great night, man. Thanks for coming on the show. And this has been a true masterclass moment, y'all, because we had a master on our show, a master of his craft, and he's got so many things coming out that it's going to be impossible not to hear something that he's working on in the future. So, Kip, man, again, thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you, brother.